Good morning, and welcome to worship on this second Sunday in Lent. It's good to see so many here this morning on this special Sunday. It's great to see Clifford back with us, so welcome back from South Africa. Glad you and Charlene had a good time and have made it back, so yeah, that's wonderful having you back with us. So Jesus welcomes each of us here personally this morning. So let's now say hi to those who are joining us on Zoom. Just before we join together on our call to worship this morning, we'll say hello to everybody. There's Pat Norman. Well, good evening. Right, excellent. There's Hillary. Brilliant. We've got, Bargy is here with us. Rosemary, our next door neighbour. Good to see you, Rosemary. And Mizpah and Rihama as well. So they're joining us as well from Southampton and Cambridge, respectively, or the other way around. But anyway, yeah. So, let's say our join together in our call to worship this morning. I'm going to say a bit more about this morning, but we'll start with some scripture. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. Sorry, you're supposed to respond with the second part of this this scripture. So let's start again, shall we? Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. Our Lord makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. Lord, may it be so. Our God breaks the bow and shatters the spear. Our God burns the shields with fire. God says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. At times of trouble and crisis, like the ones we're in at the moment, it's especially important that we make the most of celebrations and continue to give thanks to God for the gift of life in so many different ways. So it's especially good this morning that we'll be welcoming Augustina, Ansa, and the family, and we'll be dedicating their youngest child, Afrié. So welcome, bless you. And Kathy's going to be helping us with that part of the service as well. So it's good to have you all with us this morning, and for you to be dedicating Afrié this morning before the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Let's sing our first hymn now. 308, God is our strength and refuge. That's 308 in Baptist Praise and Worship, but the words will be up on our screen.
Thank you.
Please be seated. It's good to be reminded that when we're concerned, anxious, worried, that perhaps this war, this latest war, will spread further, it's good to be reminded that God will bring wars to an end. That is a promise. Amen. Let's pray together. To our Heavenly Father, on this second Sunday in Lent, we seek your face in quiet prayer now. Now let's pray. Father, I place into your hands the person I would be. Father, I place into your hands the things that trouble me. Father, I place into your hands the times that I've been through. Father, I place into your hands the way that I should go. Father, I place into your hands my friends and family. Heavenly Father, we thank you for hearing our prayers. Amen. And now we're going to sing that hymn that we've been using the words for our prayers for. This is Father, I Place Into Your Hands. Seated. Today we welcome Afrié and her family in the precious name of Jesus to the wider family. We welcome her into the family of God, and we give thanks for the precious gift of this child to this family and to our world. Augustina and Ansa are here to dedicate, to present their child to the Lord and to acknowledge their responsibilities as parents to Afriye. And we too, members of this fellowship of Carey Baptist Church, will promise to support the family in prayer and care and in sharing our faith with Afriye. And we'll pray God's blessing on her. And we'll start by reminding ourselves of the reason for doing this from Scripture. There's two scriptures I'd like to read to you. Hear, Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord our one God. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments which I give you this day are to be remembered and taken to heart. Repeat them to your children and speak of them both indoors and out of doors, when you lie down and when you get up. And then a story from the gospel, which we're all familiar with, I'm sure, but well worth reminding ourselves of this. The people brought children for Jesus to touch. The disciples rebuked them, but when Jesus saw it, he was indignant. And he said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not try to stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." And he put his arms round them, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Thanks be to God for his word. So I'm going to invite Ansa and Augustina to bring Afriye and the rest of the family forward. So we've got Chris and Nana here as well, also precious to God. And while they're coming, I'll pray a prayer. Let us pray together, shall we? Lord God, we praise you, the creator of all things, the giver of all life, and the father of each person. Joyfully, we thank you for the gift of new life in the birth of this child, for all that you have given and will give to us through Afriye, for the potential of her new life, for the love and hope she has awakened, for the care which surrounds her. Accept our thanks and praise in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, welcome, everyone. It's good to see you all this morning. Excellent. Right. Well, I'm going to ask you three questions, you and Augustina and Ansa. I'll ask you three questions about your care and responsibility for little Afriye. Ansa and Augustina, do you thank God for this gift of your child, and do you accept the joys and duties of parenthood, promising to give love and care to your child? We do. So I just realised I ought to give you somebody a microphone so actually we could actually hear you say, okay, if you'd like to say that again together, we do. Go on then.
Yes, we do.
We do. Right, okay, wonderful. It's a bit of a no-brainer really, but yeah, it's a good question to ask anyway, yes. Do you promise to bring your daughter up within the Christian community and to share your own faith with her?
We do.
Right. Yes. And what names have you given your daughter? I didn't attempt to sort of say all the names, but perhaps if you'd like to tell us Afriye's full name.
She's called Afriye Pepra Tewia Foku.
Foku. Thanks for that. Okay, that's wonderful. I'll stick with Afriye. Afriye, okay. But yeah, that's wonderful. It's not too difficult, but right, yeah. And yes, so I'm just going to take Afriye for a moment. Hopefully she won't object to this. But I've just got to show you off to everybody, haven't I? Aren't you a Bobby Dazzler? That's it. There we are. That's it. Everyone say hello. Everyone's waving. Do you see that? Give me a puzzled look. What's going on? Yes. There we go. Okay. There we are. Bless you. Right. Okay. And now I'm going to ask the congregation if you'd like to make your promises as well about caring for Afriye and the family as well. So, do you, Carey Baptist Church, promise to offer to Afriye and her family your love and care, and to join with her parents in sharing our Christian faith. Yes, I'd like to stand up, that would be great. And? Yes. Wonderful, that's great, good to hear. Right, okay. And now, I'm going to bless Afriye. Yep, so actually, if you keep hold of her, I'll just lay my hand on her, that's right, yes. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Oh dear. This is where she's... Oh, sorry, baby. Oh, sorry. Anyway, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his face upon you and give you peace, we hope. Pray? Yes, yes, Lord. I sometimes have this effect on children. Okay, so there's a gift. There's a gift for you and Afriye, and then a card as well. It's right to go with that, so bless you. And I'm going to ask Kathy if she'd like to come forward with Theo. And I think Raphael's going to come as well and pray for you and Afriye. There we are, that's it. So if you want to, let's pray together, shall we? And actually, when each of these prayers is finished and they say amen, please join together, amen. So yeah, okay, right, that's wonderful.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for Afriye this morning. God, is such a good blessing to have a new child come into your family. Mm-hmm. Jesus, this morning we want to raise upon her. We put your blessing upon her. We speak your protection upon her. God, from the minute she starts growing, mm-hmm. from the minute she was born in her own mother's womb, Lord, you are right there. And God, we just want to pray. We speak upon her future, even as she grows up into the nursery, into school, God. We just want to pray, Lord, that she'll be your blessing. Your blessing will be upon her wherever she goes. May she bless other people, and may she be blessed by others too. We speak your protection, God, against anything that comes from the opposite, God. We speak that, Lord, in Jesus' name, your spirit. Your spirit will be right there, Lord. We speak wisdom. We speak knowledge. We speak prosperity on her, God. We pray that, Lord, she'll love her parents. I know the African parents love their children, to look after them, God. I want to pray for good parenting for her parents, Lord, that they will support her everywhere she goes. And we thank you, Lord, that even us as a family, Lord, will be there to support her in every way. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Afriye, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for Afriye, which thou hast given us. Yes. Bless and give the parents grace to train Afriye in thy faith, fear, and love. As he grew in the environment of your love and care. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. 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 And Heavenly Father, we do pray for Chris and Nana as well. Ask your blessing upon the whole family. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. And bless you. I'm sorry for upsetting you. Okay. Right, okay. Thank you. If you'd like to go and take your seats again, it's been great to share with you this way. Dedicate a little Afriye here. Yeah, that's right. Wonderful. And now we're going to continue to give thanks to God by bringing forward our offering. If we bring forward the offering for this morning, and then of course the youth church can go out after the offering. So yeah. Okay, thank you. There we go. Right, thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the gift of abundant life in Jesus. We serve the King of Love. So we pray that our loves may demonstrate your love. So we bring ourselves and these gifts to you. Your will be done, we pray, here and among the young people and leaders of Youth Church as they go to their group now. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus put this song into our hearts, a song of celebration, which seems to be very appropriate. Jesus put this song into our hearts. Fancy dancing? Go ahead. I don't know if I saw you. Jesus put this song into our hearts. Jesus put this song into our hearts. It's a song of joy no one can take away. Jesus put this song into our hearts. Jesus taught us how to live in harmony. Jesus taught us how to live in harmony. Different faces, different races, He made us one. Jesus taught us how to live in harmony.
Hello.
Yeah. And now our first reading. So chance just to kind of catch your breath. I'm going to read to us from 1 Kings chapter 19.
Right, our first reading is from the first book of Kings, chapter 19, verses 1 to 13. And that's on page 360 in the Pew Bibles, the NIV. Elijah flees to Horeb. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then laid down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Amen.
Thank you, Pat. I'm so glad that you're able to continue your Bible reading ministry amongst us from Zoom.
Thank you.
Right, so we're going to have some notices now, I think. Kathleen? Okay, thanks, Kathleen.
The notices for this week are as follows. Coffee morning, Bible studies and prayer meetings all continue as usual. There are more details on the newsletter. I just want to elaborate on the Bible study. The Monday morning group will be continuing its new series of meetings on Zoom from 10:30 till 12 this Monday. That's the 14th tomorrow. And they are following the New York course for Lent titled God Has No Favorites. It's a 5-week course, and they're exploring how each of us is called to discover that God is completely inclusive. God has no favorites because God favors everyone. So please see Jill for more information and study notes for the second session. Following the AGM last Wednesday, I can confirm that all the trustees were re-elected. Additionally, Hilary Donovan was elected as secretary and Shirley Sibulia elected as our new treasurer. We extend our grateful thanks to the previous treasurer, Margaret Lai, over here, for her years of dedicated service. And we are also pleased that Margaret will remain as a trustee for this year. Due to the dedication at today's service, you may remember that the all-age service will now take place on the last week of the month, the 27th. Our March communion offering will be given to the Disasters Emergency Committee for the people of Ukraine. Cash donations can also be given at any church service, but please place that offering in an envelope clearly marked for the Ukraine. Additionally, if you're giving a donation directly into our bank account, please reference it, Ukraine. Thank you. And there will be refreshments after the service. Back to you, Colin.
Thank you, Kathleen. Our second reading now is Shami. Will be reading from the Gospel of Matthew.
The word of God is taken from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, from chapter 4. Verses 1 to 11. Could be found in the Church Bibles, page number 967. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Jesus is tested in the wilderness. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the earth and their splendor. All this I will give you, he added, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. Praise be to God.
Thank you, Shami. Our next song, From Heaven You Came, Helpless Babe. It's 529 in Baptist Praise and Worship, but the words will be up on our screen. Thank you. My talk this morning is entitled Keeping It Simple. Now, I've been working on an important theory this week by a simple reading of my Bible and the story of Matthew 4. I've arrived at a profound new revelation, and this is it. I reckon Jesus was a Yorkshireman. I know what you're thinking, I've really lost the plot this time. But listen to this. We already know Jesus was a northerner, indeed. But what reinforces this simple belief of mine is this. Jesus liked to call a spade a spade. He didn't muck about, he didn't mince his words. He was very blunt and direct, just like my nan and my dad. He said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. So he had a strong taciturn streak. And we can also see this during his temptation in the wilderness. He used as few words as possible to resist the enemy. And he always used some very direct scriptures and didn't hesitate to tell the devil where to go. Jesus was just about as blunt a human being as you can be, while still being full of grace and truth and love. It could have been Jesus who coined the phrase, there's nouts a queer as folk. You can imagine him saying this as he wept over Jerusalem, or challenges the thinking of the Pharisees and so-called teachers of the law. But it's true though, isn't it? There's nouts so queer as folk. And I include myself in that description. I realize that I'm a bit weird, but then most of us are in one way or another. For my talk today, I've managed to arrive somehow at a three-point sermon. This is based on Matthew's account of the temptation of Jesus. And the point of each of these points is to remind us of the importance of keeping things simple, of not overthinking and overcomplicating things. In times of crisis, this is even more important than usual. There are three temptations which Jesus avoided, and these are not exactly the same as the three temptations described here in Matthew. Figure that one out if you like. But anyway, firstly, Jesus avoided the temptation of too many words, as we've already said. You can imagine the enemy trying to get Jesus to engage in a long theological debate about who he was and what he was doing there. But each time, Jesus cuts off any further discussion. The only words that Jesus is interested in are the words of God. He knows that God's word will sustain him, however hungry he gets. Just as an aside here, it's interesting to read Jesus' temptation in parallel with Elijah's journey to the mountain of God. Here, the angel of the Lord insists that Elijah needs to eat in order to survive this difficult journey. One of the things which Lent should teach us is that less is more. And one thing we don't need so much of is words. Words that we say without thinking. Words which come from our own sinful nature. Words that our political leaders spout to conceal the truth. Each day we're in danger of drowning in a tsunami of words. But what Lent teaches us, as well as the Christian contemplative tradition, is that we often learn a lot more from silence. This is why Jesus was sent by the Spirit of God into the wilderness, to find a silence in which he could hear God's voice. That is why every morning Jesus sought out remote quiet places to be alone with his Heavenly Father. And this is why Jesus knows he doesn't need to put God's love for him to the test by throwing himself off the temple, for example. Jesus simply knows his Heavenly Father loves him. And this is why Jesus had such a massive impact on human history, because he uniquely embodied what it was to be a child of God. He simply took time to listen to God, his Heavenly Father, each day, every moment. The second temptation Jesus resisted was the temptation to have too much stuff. The enemy showed him the splendor of all the kingdoms of the world, and he said to Jesus, all this could be yours. It's funny, there are two reactions Jesus could have had to this particular temptation. He might have thought, why do I need all that? I'm just one guy, and I've got all I need right here in the wilderness. And on another level, he might have thought, I don't need you to give me all this. It's already mine anyway. As the psalmist writes, the cattle of 1,000 hills belong to God. The whole earth belongs to the Lord. But Jesus keeps it simple and simply quotes scripture at his enemy. A verse which is very simple. Worship the Lord your God, serve God only. The simplicity of this command brings us back to the heart of the challenge of Lent. How much of our time do we spend serving ourselves? Helping ourselves to what we think is our share, what we deserve. I know this is true from my own greed. I'm very quick to help myself. The lure and attraction of what the enemy calls all these things is all too real. Let me put it this another way. This is what we learn from Lent. This is what we learn from Elijah and Jesus. This is what we learn from our continuing challenge of climate chaos. This is what we learn from the Ukraine war and the refugee crisis. It is vital that we learn to live more simply. It is vital that this Lent and after this Lent, we learn to say no to more things, to more stuff. Jesus himself, as well as those 2 million and counting Ukrainian refugees, remind us how little we really need to live on in this world. So the next time you think about buying something new, ask yourself, do I really need this? And also, is there something better I can spend this money on? There's also this question, what do I have that I could usefully give away? The third temptation Jesus resisted each time he answered the enemy was this. The temptation of too little God. Jesus had no appetite for all the devil was offering him. Jesus had a much bigger appetite for God. We can never have enough of God or too much of God. This is simple. Too simple, perhaps? Jesus was led by God's Spirit into the wilderness, and Jesus was then led by the Spirit out of the wilderness so he could proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. This is simple, and it leads to a simple question or two. This Lent, how much are we being led by God's Spirit? How hungry are we for God instead of for other stuff? How hungry are you for God in this wilderness of 2022? It's funny, I've preached about us speaking and hearing too many words. Now I'm in danger of saying too much myself and going on too long. So that part of me that is Yorkshire, that is determined to follow Jesus, is telling me to be quiet, to be still before the Lord, and to simply seek his face, just as Elijah did on the mountain of God, just as Jesus did in the wilderness. So let's do that now, shall we? Let's spend the rest of my talk, if you like, being quiet before the Lord. Because what God says to you in the next few minutes, few moments, could be more significant than all the words I've ever preached throughout over 30 years in ministry. God said to Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord. We don't need a mountain. We don't need to stand. But we do need our God, the one who in Jesus came to seek and save us. Let's be quiet and seek the Lord now. Good to hear the voice of a child as we seek to listen to the voice of God. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. Thank you, Lord, for being here amongst us. Amen. In Christ. Please be seated. Let us pray together. God of love, we pray for our world, which so often puts faith in things that cannot save, in armaments and strike power, in the acquisition of land or wealth, in the superiority of race or philosophy. God of love, help us to put our faith in you alone, that the world may be put right with you and made new by your Spirit. And this day we continue to pray for the Ukraine, for the people of Ukraine, for the leaders of Ukraine. We pray too for the people of Russia, the leaders of Russia. We remember them before you in our prayers. We join with all nations in praying for an end to this war and to all wars. God of love, we pray for the church, which often puts faith in things that cannot save, in the outward appearance of religion, in social respectability, in the giving from what we have, but not the giving of what we are, in rigid beliefs, correct interpretations, and a sense of belonging to the group. God of love, we ask your forgiveness. We ask that you'd help us to put our faith in you alone, that the church may be put right with you and made new by your Spirit. God of love, we pray for ourselves as we struggle to put our faith in your saving love. In times of sickness, bereavement, or anxiety, in times of doubt, confusion, or depression, in times when we are too busy and distracted to find space for you. God of love, help us to put our faith in you alone, that we may be put right with you and made new by your Spirit. Pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your gracious and costly gift of love for the world. Amen. Our closing hymn, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder.
Thank you.
translated from Russian, of course. A prayer from a wild Lent, discovering God through creation. Like the flower of the daisy opening to a new day, may we open ourselves to your goodness. Help us to walk simply and steadily, closely with you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.